That we have three proofs to the premise, to the conclusion, let's call it, that both Psukei de Zimra and Birchas Kriyat Shema together as Shevach v'Tishbachos, as Shirat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, form the unit called a Matir, giving us license to daven, to enter into prayer, tefillah, with HaKadosh Baruch. And we organize this under the general statement or drasha of Rav Simloy, Liolam Yisader Adam Shvachos Shel Makom V'Achar Kach Yispalel. Only after Shvachos Shel Makom are you permitted to be mispalel. So we're going to start in the paragraph V'nireh, and this is the breakthrough, because the theme of this shir is Smichus Gula L'Tefillah. So now we come full swing back to Smichus Gula L'Tefillah. We have to address the question of what is Smichus Gula L'Tefillah? Is it a kiyum in Kriyat Shema? Is it a kiyum in Berchas Kriyat? Is it a kiyum in Tefillah? What's the difference between Smichus Gula Tefillah and Shachris? Smichus Gula Tefillah and Arvis. In Arvis we have a Kaddish in between Gula and Tefillah. We also have that concept called Gula Richta, which was never defined properly. We can say Amen. And then we flip to the Shachris Smichus Gula Tefillah, and it's an absolute, you know, hermetically sealed Gula Tefillah. There's nothing in the middle between Gal Yisrael and Shmon Esrei. There's no room for Amen even. Certainly not Kaddish. So these were the issues, if you remember, that we started this Shia with way back when. And now the Rav has a breakthrough. He says the following. That first of all, and this is going to be one dimension of Smichus Gula Tefillah, we are obligated to set up Gula before Tefillah, as part of the matrix, as part of this constellation which we call a Matir. To be Matir Amidol Lifnei Hashem. What does the word Geula mean in this context? It means praise to Almighty God through Birchas Kriyat Shema. And to prove this, he quotes Rashi in Brachos on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, explaining what Smichus Gula Tefillah is. Rashi says that the remez, the allusion in the Tanakh for this concept, this halacha of Smichus Gula Tefillah, is in Sefer Tehillim. David says, Hashem Tzuri V'Gali, so emphasize the word V'Gali, meaning Gal Yisrael, referring to the redemption. V'Samechle, and immediately following, Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzar, God will answer our prayers in our distress. Rashi continues by quoting the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi gives an interesting mashal through which we should understand and appreciate what Smichus Gula Tefillah is all about. Imagine a friend of the king who comes knocking on the door of the king. He has something to ask of the king. And the melech, because of the special relationship that they have, comes to open the door. And guess what? His friend is gone, Hiflig. He's not around. So what happens if a person gets close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Geula? Says Rashi, what does Geula mean? Miratzehu, he's Maratza, he appeases, so to speak, the king. In this case, the King of Kings, b'tishbachos v'kilusim, with praises of God, shall yitzias Mitzrayim. For some reason, unknown to me, the particular form of shira v'tishbachos, which functions as the ritzui, as we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knocking on his door, is yitzias Mitzrayim. Maybe one could say that's the greatest gift that the Jewish people ever received from Almighty God, and therefore deserves the greatest praise. V'hu miskarev elav. And through this process of singing the praises of Almighty God, he, the Jew who's praying, reciting Geula, comes closer to Almighty God, to the King of Kings. Uba'odo kareve lov, when he gets to that point where he's so close to the Ribono Shel Olam, yesh lo litva atzrachav, that's the opportunity to ask for his needs. Says the Rav, what do you see from Rashi in the name of the Yerushalmi? That smichus gula tefila is ritzui HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi himself uses that term, ratzehu. And what's the vehicle through which there's this ritzui? Tishbachos and kilusim lifnei tefila, right before prayer. The Rav now, having quoted Rashi in Brachas Daf Dalet, goes on to quote a different Rashi on Daf Lamed Aleph. You remember the sugya on Daf Lamed Aleph that we discussed above about what mood a person should be in before they start davening? And the answer is mitoch simcha. Says Rashi, what does mitoch simcha mean? Kigon divrei tanchumim shel Torah. Words of consolation that give the Jewish people a sense of security, of reliance on God. Kigon smoch samoch legeulas Mitzrayim. He should recite geula because that indicates God's closeness, the benefits that he bestows upon the Jewish people, the miracles. Oh, alternatively, now Rashi wants to know what's the proper mood for mincha, because in mincha we're not going to recite the geula before we daven. Oh, samach l'tehilah l'david, tehilah David likewise. What we call Ashrei gives us the sense of security, of reliance, of comfort by praising God, who shevach v'tanchumin kigon ritzon yireav yaseh, or shomer Hashem es kol ohavav. Meaning these psukim indicate that Almighty God is close to those who fear Him, bestows upon them their needs, their ratzon, what their will is, protects those who love God. All these psukim, says Rashi, in Ashrei, engender a feeling of simcha, the proper attitude appropriate for tefillah, because it's praise to Almighty God, but at the same time it gives us a consolation because God cares for us. He loves us, He protects us, He fulfills our very need, our very will. He has taken us out of Mitzrayim. Says the Rav, you put all these Rashis together, Mevuar Lehedja, what we see explicitly from Rashi, is that the halach of Smichus Gula Tefillah is identical with the recitation of Ashrei. Ashrei forms part of Psukei Dezimra, perhaps the centerpiece of Psukei Dezimra. And this identity between Smichus Gula Tefillah and Amiras Ashrei is based on the underlying common denominator between the two, which is that we recite Shira, song and praise to God, over, meaning before tefillah, and this is Matir tefillah. But I just want to add one comment of my own. Rashi never, and please correct me if you think I'm wrong, Rashi never explicitly mentions the concept of Matir. Rashi never says that otherwise he has no license to enter into the king's palace and petition before him. Rashi says ritzui. Rashi says that this is the best way of doing it. Rashi says in order to accomplish ritzui, smichus gula tefillah, praising Almighty God, is appropriate. Maybe it means that this is the moment, once I've recited this praise, I've mentioned the gula of Mitzrayim, this moment is favorable for being Toveh Atzrachav. Rashi doesn't mention anything about the Isur and the Matir, that whole process. I don't know. The Rav, it seems to me, is going a little bit beyond Rashi. If you stick, you know, very carefully and you're limited and circled by the words of Rashi, I think you'll come to the conclusion that Rashi's telling us a recommendation. You want to create a moment that's, what's the word in English? Propitious. Did I get that right? That is favorable, that's auspicious, you know, for asking tzrachav. the moment of Shiros V'Tishpachos, of that Ritzui, is going to lead to that accomplishment. And on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, right here on top of the next page, the Rav says that that's only half the story of Smichus Gula Tefillah. Again, so in one word, Smichus Gula Tefillah equals what? A matir. But now the Rav says there's a whole other dimension to Smichus Gula Tefillah. And this the Rav develops in a very elaborate way. Because, in essence, so far, the presentation of the Rav of Roman numeral number one of Smichus Gula Tefillah, what plays the major role? Is it Geula or is it Tefillah? What would you say is the goal? It's Tefillah, no doubt. In a sense, what he's deriving for the two Rashis is that the vehicle for successful Tefillah, the entry, is going to be Geula.
Wouldn't you say Geula is like the...
Yeah, for sure. But all this is meant as a preparation to lead us to what? To Tefillah. What's the proper attitude for Tefillah, says Rashi? Simcha. And what is that Simcha? It's the Kilusim and the Tanchumin of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the ultimate goal here is Tefillah. The vehicle to achieve that goal and be successful is Geula. That's as far as Roman numeral number one is concerned. Now we're up to Roman numeral number two. And as I said, the Rav creates a whole labyrinth here, piecing together different sugyas. He starts with the Gemara Brachos Daf Tes. This is the sugya of Vatikin. Vatikin means that you... what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, just give me a second. Synchronize. That you synchronize your geula with tefillah at one particular moment. In other words, there's a moment of time, and that moment of time is the when you meet geula with tefillah. So geula, you know, if you imagine the time period, let's say 3 seconds. So geula finishes at second, the first second of the three, or the first and a half, and then tefillah at the second. What is that time period? That's called Hanetzachama. Kriya Shema Kivasikin, the Yom Rab Yochanan Vasikin, are you Gomer Mosa? They completed Kriya Shema Ubirchosea im Hanetzachama. Tanya Nami Hochi Vasikin, are you Gomer Mosa im Hanetzachama? Kidei, she Yismach Gula Tfila. Venimtsa Mispalel Bayom. Hanetzachama precipitates Yom. At that moment, when Yom comes into being, he should be davening. So therefore, he should synchronize. That the Kriyat Shema ends at that point of Hanetzachama, and then he davens. That's Smichus Gula Tefillah. Amar Abzeir, what's the source for this concept of Atikin? Yiro'uchem Shemesh, Apostle Kintilim, V'lefnei Yareach Dor Dorim, and the Rav is going to go into depth here about what Yira'ucha im Shemesh means. The Gemara immediately continues in that same Sugyan Brachos with the concept of Kol HaSomech Gula Tefillah Eino Nizal Kol Yom. How great is it to be Somech Gula Tefillah? So, Rabosai, just to summarize the Sugyan Brachos, there's A and B. What concepts are contiguous here, one after the other, in the presentation of the Gemara Brachos? Concept number one, everybody? Vasikin, correct? Mm-hmm. Concept number two, Smichus Gula Tefillah. Does everybody see that? Mm-hmm. So Tosus asks the following question, Tomar, Halokola Olam, Somchim Gula Tefillah. The Gemara speaks about Rav Bruna, how great he was, that he was so makpin on being Somech Gula Tefillah. He had a smile on his face the whole day. What's the big deal? Everybody should be Somech Gula Tefillah. Shlomo da Achikomer. Kol HaSomech Gula Tefillah Kevasikin. Look at that. Tosus integrates these two concepts into one. Of course you can be Somech Gula Tefillah anytime that there's Tefillah. But to do it exactly at the moment of Hanetzachama, to synchronize it, That's a great thing. And we praise Rav Bruna, you know, and his happiness that he achieved this apparently on a regular basis. Kol hasome gula tefillah kivasikin shekorei kriyat shma kodem ha'netzacham u'tefillah yachar ha'netzacham. So the Rav says, I don't understand. These are two separate concepts. The Gemara itself is talking about smichus gula tefillah. And the Gemara speaks about vasikin. But these are two different issues. Tosfos is integrating them. He's saying that the ultimate pinnacle that you can achieve here is to have vasikin and smichus gula tefillah, that he could be somek gula tefillah with vasikin at hanetz. And the Rav says ostensibly, these are two fundamentally different concepts. The concept of smichus gula tefillah is halach in sidur brachos utfilos, the way we organize the sequence of birchas kriyat shma and tefillah, that's smichus gula tefillah. Vasikin has to do with the zman for kriyat shma. At what moment in time should a person recite kriyat shma? Imanei tzachama. As we saw in the brayse of vasikin on yegomen osa imanei tzachama. Says the Rav that you see from Tosfos, that there's some sort of very integral connection between these two concepts of vasikin and smichus gula tefillah. Says the Rav in the next paragraph, let's understand yira'ucha im shemesh, which is the source for vasikin, says Rashi. Yira'ucha is milashon yira. When do you fear God? Masai misyarim imecha, kishamoracha mekablim aleihem, when they accept upon themselves the fear of God. Dahainu malchus shamayim, God's sovereignty. Shemekablim aleihem bekriyat shma. So clearly vasikin, according to Rashi, is to be identified with the concept of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Yira'ucha means Kriyat Shema. They will fear you by accepting upon themselves the yoke of heaven. But let's combine that Rashi in Brachos Taftes with a sugya in a later chapter in Brachos, this time on Chavtes Amid Beis, and the Gemara belittles someone who his tefillah is keva rather than tachnunu. And the Gemara asks, what's keva? What's so bad about it? And the Gemara explains, Eino mispalel im dumdume chama. He doesn't daven at hanetz. That's not good. Most of us don't daven with hanetz. So according to Abaye, and according to Rabbi Chanina, we're in the category of someone who's pal keva. That's not too good. The Rambam, by the way, in Hilchos Tefillah, it's not for now, seems to say that the Iker mitzvah of Tefillah is to daven at hanetz. It's not just a Hidur mitzvah. That's the way Tefillah is, to daven with hanetz. But my friends, according to the presentation of the Gemara in Brachos Chavtes, can you answer this question? What is the kiyum of Vasikin? What is the primary goal? Is it the Kriyat Shema or is it the Tefillah? Don't all answer at once.
Tefillah Bayom.
It's Tefillah. It's not Kriyat Shema. The subject here of the Sugya in Brachos on Daf Chavtes is Tefillah. The Gemara says that you don't want to be in the category of mispalel tefillas keva, you want to be in a higher category, then make sure and guarantee that you mispalel im dumdumei chama at vasikin. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk yira'ucha im shemesh.
What does dimdumei?
Dimdumei means when the first rays of sunlight break through the horizon. That's called hanetz hachama, at sunrise. Mevur lehedges, says the Rav, ki minag vasikin ikro mishtaich l'tfilah. The minag of vasikin, that fulfillment, is anchored in tfilah. Rashi, in Brachos Daf Tes, in the previous paragraph, established that Smichus Gula Tefillah is the reason why I attach my Tefillah at Hanetz, because I have to recite Kriyat Shema the moment before Hanetz. So how do we reconcile all this? Says the Rav, apparently Vasikin establishes two different halachas. Number one, halach in Kriyat Shema, that one should synchronize his Kriyat Shema with Hanetz. And number two, in Tefillah, it's halach in Tefillah, that a person should daven exactly at Hanetz. This is Vasikin. So my friends, how many dimensions are there to Vasikin? Two. There's the Kriyat Shema dimension, which Rashi says Yerucha is identified with Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, that's Kriyat Shema. And then there's another halacha of a Kiyum Tefillah at the very beginning of the day. When is the beginning of the day? Hanetz, that's when you should be mispalel. So we've got two sides of the coin. It's a Kriyat Shema halacha and it's a Tefillah halacha. He says, Kishenedayek Beloshen Abraisa. The Gemara in the Lashon HaBraisa itself reflects this twofold concept of Vasikin. On the one hand, it says Vasikin on Yigomrim Osa Imanetzacham. What's Osa? Kriyat Shema. On the other hand, Nimtza Mispalel Bayom. So the emphasis is on both Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. In fact, in typical Brisker style, the Rav points out that there are two places in the Rambam where the Rambam codifies the halacha of Vasikin. At the beginning of Ilchus Kriyat Shema, Ezu Yizmana, when should a person recite Kriyat Shema? The Kriyat Shema of Bekumecha? When it, right before Hanetz. And he's not talking about Tefillah at all. Then you open up to the third chapter in Ilchus Tefillah, and the Rambam says that Tefillah Sashach Mitzvah Shiaschus Halim Hanetz. Why did the Rambam codify the halacha of Vasikin in two different places? One in Kriyat Shema and the other in Tefillah? Apparently there are two different chiyuvim, two different kiyumim, two different dimensions to the fulfillment of Vasikin. Number one, it's a kiyum in Kriyat Shema, and number two, it's a kiyum in Tefillah. But don't forget that we learned from Tosus on Daf Tes Amud Beis that Vasikin is identified with Smichus Gula Tefillah. Turn now to page Nun Beis.
I just say into my halal of God, Samchim Gula Tefillah. My Lord. Hasomech Gula Tefillah, Kevasikin. So,
Kevasikin has the Vasikin do it. How do they do it? At Hanetz. They recite Kriyat Shema before Hanetz and Tefillah at Hanetz.
Isn't Tosfot saying that your Somech Gula Tefillah any time Kevasikin? I'm just, it's sort of the Lashon.
No, if you do it like the Vasikin do it, then you fit into the special category that Rav Bruna fits into, that Lo Pasik Chucha Mipume, the whole day he was in a state of spiritual elation. Why? Because his Smichus Gula Tefillah was not like ours, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning, but rather it was at the break of dawn, at the point of
Hanetz.
If you achieve, I should say, if you implement Smichus Gula Tefillah Kivasikin, then you have the, you know, the, how do you say, you won the lottery. So the Rav derives from that Smichus Gula Tefillah must be connected to Vasikin. Now, if that be the case, then Smichus Gula Tefillah should form some sort of entity of Vasikin that reflects itself both in the Kriyat Shema element and the Tefillah element as well. So let's turn to Nun Beis. And here's what the Rav derives from this entire complicated labyrinth of this discussion, putting together, as it were, both the Sugya and Brachos Tes and the Sugya and Brachos Chaf Tes. And he says, Kiyum miyuchad shel tziruf tefillah im Kriyat Shema. Somehow, we link Kriyat Shema with Tefillah, and we form some sort of a new entity. This reminds me, if you remember, our discussion about Birchas HaTorah, that Birchas HaTorah was on the one end Avoda, and the other end it was Talmud Torah, and we were trying to get that new entity of Torah that was maluva with tefillah, that was accompanied by tefillah, that was sandwiched by tefillah, and that's Birchas HaTorah. Here the Rav is saying that we want to combine A plus B into one entity. You have this mixing machine, and what do you throw into it? Kriyat Shema. What else? Tefillah. Now mix it up, create this new entity, and that new entity is Smichus Gula Tefillah. However, both should be fulfilled, meaning both Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, with Hanetzach Hama. Why? Because the Pasuk says Yiruchem Shemesh. Im Shemesh means that Hanetz. And Yerucha, Rashi says, is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. It means that the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, which is achieved at Hanetz, Yeruchem Shemesh, is achieved by combining, integrating both Kriyat Shema and Tefillah together to form one entity. And at what point do we do that? When is our full-blown, perfect, mushlam, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim? When Kriyat Shema and Tefillah kiss, when they connect, at what point? At Dimdum Echama, that's Yiruchem Shemesh. That is the spitz, the most perfect fulfillment of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, to the point to which we can classify it as Mora, as Yiruchem. It's one action of Yerucha Im Shemesh that's made up of two subcategories, so to speak, that combine to form one entity, and that's Kriyat Shema and Tefillah.
Why don't we do this at Mariv also, like say Kriyat Shema right before Shkia?
Okay, so the Rav is going to come up with a fantastical thesis about that the trouble with Mariv, and this is going to be Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is going to maintain your position, Neil, so you're in good company. But Reish Lakish, the Rav, is going to say he has trouble combining Kriyat Shema and Tefillah into one entity. Because whereas Kriyat Shema on the one end is a Chova, B'Shalbecha, Tefillah on the other end, in the case of Meirev, we paskin is a Rishus. And Rishus and Chova just don't mix together. They cannot be integrated to form one whole.
And the concept during Mincha doesn't even come into play.
Okay.
Where are you going to go with them?
Okay. So let's leave Mincha out for the moment. I mean, Neil was saying that since there's Smichus Gula Tefillah at night, what is the nature of Smichus Gula Tefillah at night?
I'm asking with the Chama at night.
With the what at night? I didn't hear.
Like with the Chama, Dim Yudei Chama, that would apply at night also, no? When the sun sets.
I don't know. I don't think so. Yeruchem Shemesh, I think, means daybreak.
It's daybreak, right?
As far as I know.
Oh.
Yeah. Daybreak in the morning.
Never mind.
Okay? So again, now the Rav is going to finalize or summarize the second dimension, what I called Roman numeral number 2 of Smichus Gula Tefillah. And that is that not only is Smichus Gula Tefillah kium of Matir to allow me and give me license to stand in front of Almighty God in prayer, but in addition to that, the Birchas Kriyat Shema generate a chiyuv of tefillah. Because with Birchas Kriyat Shema, my Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim requires of me tefillah, so that my tefillah will complete the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And all this should be fulfilled under the Pasuk Yeruchem Shemesh at Hanetzach Hama. Now, if you don't have Hanetzach Hama, you're doing it at a later time, you still gain this entity, this new fantastical entity, this perfect kium of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. The Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim reaches its pinnacle not with Kriyat Shema, which is pure Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, but when I combine Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim with tefillah. The Rav points out that whereas Psukei Zimra that we discussed at great length last time is a matir for tefillah, but Psukei Zimra is lacking the second dimension that exists in Birchas Kriyat Shema, namely the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim dimension. The Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim dimension exists and is reflected in Kriyat Shema and Birchol Seho, but not in Psukin Izimra. Psukin Izimra is pure Shevach of Liolam Yisader Odom Shvachol Shemoch V'Achach Yispalel. Birchas Kriyat Shema shares that entity as well, and therefore we're never mafsik between Psukin Izimra and Kriya and Birchas Kriyat Shema. However, the additional dimension that Birchas Kriyat Shema possesses above and beyond Psukin Izimra is that Kriyat Shema uBirchol Seho together with Tefillah forms one entity of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. By the way, I'm just thinking out loud now, what's the first thing we do when we daven, when we say Shemon Esrei? And what's the first thing that
we bow?
We bow. I mean, that bowing is indicative of what? It expresses Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. I'm just saying that as a Maimer HaMuzker, and in parentheses. Now the Rav is going to take this twofold meaning or kium of Smichus Gula Tefillah, and he's going to now, for the next few pages till the end of the shir, he's going to try to put everything that we questioned into perspective. What about Anias Amen, for example? You recite Gal Yisrael. Is there room for an Amen? Is there room for Kaddish? Would it be a wedge between Gula and Tefillah? So the Rav says it depends on which dimension of Smichus Gula Tefillah you're talking about. From the perspective of the first dimension, namely Birchas Kriyat Shema is a matir for Tefillah, he says Birchas Kriyat Shema is an entity independent of Tefillah, and they stand apart one from the other. They're not unified and integrated to form one unit. In fact, we're going to set up a mafsik to differentiate between Birchas Kriyat Shema as a matir and Tefillah as Tefillah. Within this perspective of Birchas Kriyat Shema as a matir, Birchas Kriyat Shema is linked up to Psukin Izimra that came before it, and there'll be an Amen. There'll be a Kaddish. However, what prevents us from the Amen and the Kaddish in the case of Smichus Gula Tefillah of Shachris? What additional dimension do we have in Smichus Gula Tefillah? Vasikin meaning what? What is Yira Ucha? What does Yira mean in this context? Kabbalas? Oh, Malchus Shemayim. I don't want anybody walking out of this room and forgetting this. There are two halachas in Smichus Gula Tefillah. One is a matir. It's a continuation of what we started with Psukin Izimra. And number two, it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. By combining both Birchas Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, they form one entity. If they're going to form one entity, then what do we need? Absolute Smichus. What does absolute Smichus exclude?
Amen.
Amen and Kaddish. But again, under the first halacha, just to backtrack, of Matir, then on the contrary, the Rav says on line 5, Yesh Lahadir, it would embellish the fulfillment by adding a Kiddush, Shem Shamayim, meaning a sanctification of God's name through Kaddish, after Birchas Kriyat Shema, before starting to daven. Because as a Matir, Birchas Kriyat Shema remains independent of Tefillah. There's no integration of the two. And therefore the Matir should be Misuyag. Misuyag means it should be circumscribed. It should be well defined and separated from the Nitar. So you have a Matir and a Nitar. The Matir is what? Birchas Kriyat Shema, what we call Geula, and the Nitar is Tefillah. And they don't form one entity. Therefore, Shiros v'tishpachos, they come before Tefillah. That's not a Kiyum Tefillah, that's a Kiyum of Matir. As long as we're interested in this dimension of the relationship between Birchas Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, we allow and we even encourage an interruption that separates the two. because there's the entity of the matir that has to clearly be separated from the nitar. And therefore the Kaddish will serve that function to set up the boundaries and to delineate the difference here between one Pulas Mitzvah and another Pulas Mitzvah. Birchas Kriyat Shema on the one end and Tefillah on the other. He says it in very fancy language. He says that from the concept of from the perspective of Matir, Kriyat Shema and its Brachos and Tefillah are two Shemos V'chaluyos Nifradim. It's a very heavy, brisker language over here. Two Chaloisim that are absolutely independent one of the other. And to be mafsik between the two, we establish a Kaddish. However, there's another dimension to Smichus Gula Tefillah, as we saw, it was generated by Vasikin through the Pasuk Yeruchem Shemesh. From this perspective of the second dimension, there's one Kiyum and one action, a Pu'ula of Kabbalah Salmok Shemayim, which is unified. And the two, namely Kriya Birchas Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, become identified and integrated into one whole. Therefore, Kaddish is mufka, meaning it's completely excluded. Because if the purpose of Kaddish is to wedge between two entities that are independent, that would be antithetical to Smichus Gula Tefillah as a kiyum of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim of Yeruchim Shemesh. Because we need one action. And now we're going on to page Nun Gimel. In Shachris, there's no room for hefsek between Gula and Tefillah. We say Baruch Ato Hashem Gal Yisrael, and we begin Shmon Esrei. Why? What happened to Kaddish? The answer is because we need on Shachris Smichus Gula Tefillah as one entity of Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. Yet we paskin that the Smichus Gula Tefillah even in Arvis. You remember that Rabbi Yochanan, that's how we started this whole shi'ur. If you look back at page 1, you'll see that Rabbi Yochanan made the statement, Ezu ben Olav Abba, Asomek Gula Tefillah Shal Arvis. And we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Rav, the difference between Shachris and Arvis is that whereas in Shachris there are two dimensions to Smichus Gula Tefillah, two kiyumim, with regard to Arvis we drop one and we reduce it to the other one. Yes, we need a matir. Every tefillah needs a matir. And therefore, Birchas Kriyat Shema, so far as it's Shevach V'Hodoya Ta'Kodesh Baruch Hu, is the matir. So, Arvis, no less than Shachris, requires a matir of Smichus Gula Tefillah. However, the second dimension of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, by integrating Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, that dimension is completely absent in the case of Ma'ariv. Yes, had Ma'ariv been a chova, then the two, even in the case of Ma'ariv, namely both Birchas Kriyat Shema as a chova and Tefillah as a chova, could be integrated. And then there would be two dimensions to Smichus Gula Tefillah. However, since we paskin Tefillas Arvis Rishus, therefore, there's no possibility of integrating Kriyat Shema, which is a chova, with Tefillah, which is a Rishus. And therefore we have to separate between the two. And that's exactly the difference between Shachris and Ma'ariv. Here, my friends, is the revealed secret that we've been waiting for from the time we started this year. Why is it that there's a Kaddish, and there'll be other Mafsikim perhaps, between Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis and Tefillah Shel Arvis, after all, Ezu ben Olam Abba, Somek Gula Tefillah. Says the Rav, yes, Smichus Gula Tefillah B'Toras Matir. But B'Toras Matir, we have to separate the Matir and the Nitar as two separate units. And therefore, we're going to have a Kaddish in between. And perhaps some other things. Not so in the case of Shachris. In Shachris, we have an additional dimension to Smichus Gula Tefillah. It's not just Hilchos Matir, in which we separate Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. It's Hilchos Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, which requires that we integrate the two and combine them into one entity. Here there's no room for Hefsekim. Kaddish is completely precluded. And I underlined a few lines at the end of this gigantic paragraph, Kriyat Shema B'Torah's Chova, Eino Misma Zeges, Mizug means integrated, Im Tfilas Arvishi Rishus. He has a footnote here, number 13, in which he talks about someone who began Shemon Esrei thinking that he's obligated, reminds himself halfway through Shemon Esrei that he already davened. Can he complete the Shemon Esrei as a tefillas nedava, as a tefillas rishus? And Halacha is absolutely not. You cannot integrate chova and rishus into one entity. And insofar as Kabbalah, Sol Malchus Shemayim, of Vasik, and of Kriyat Shema tefillah is one entity, then if Kriyat Shema is a chova and tefillah is a rishus, in the case of Ma'ariv, because we pass in tefillah as rishus, then these are two separate entities that cannot link to combine and generate one entity called Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Therefore, we remain with one halach of smichus gula tefillah, and only one halach, namely what? No, I'm talking about Ma'ariv. Again, let me go over it, because you disappointed me. Okay. I mean, I'm disappointed myself, because you gave me the wrong answer, and I didn't even think that was feasible, that anyone would give me the wrong answer. Okay, let me go over this again. We're talking about Tfilas Arvis, and we're trying to explain that the dimension of Smichus Gula Tfilah, of integrating both Kriyat Shema and Tfilah into one entity, is completely undermined, completely nullified in the case of Arvis. Why? Because you cannot integrate a chova and a rishus, is that clear? Mm-hmm. So what are we left with? Why is Ezu ben Olam Abaz Asomek Gula Tefillah Shal Arvis? We're left with only one element, one dimension of Smichus Gula Tefillah, namely what?
Matir.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. Oh, that's a sweet word.
But Rabbi, when we say something's a matir, don't we normally strive to have the least possible hefsek as possible?
I don't know. What do you have in mind? Like the Rav is assuming that a matir and a nitar are so radically different.
Food, that's a matir, and you're not allowed to have a hefsek. You have to dafka eat it right away. So why are we saying that you'd need a kaddish? If anything, you would have to remove the kaddish.
That's an excellent question. I would say the following. I mean, just shooting from the hip, I have to really give it a lot more thought. That in the case of an Iser Hanah, then the Hanah has to be linked up with the Matir. So the Achila has to come immediately following the Matir, namely the Bracha. But in the case of Tefillah as a license, you know, we're not talking about an Iser Hanah. We're talking about coming in front of God with, you know, without petitions, and maybe it's a chutzpah, it's an audacity on the part of man to just jump into the king's palace, you know, with his petty needs and requests. So what do we need first? We need a matir. But that matir comes under a totally different, it's a totally different complexion. Meaning, what I'm suggesting is that shevach and tefillah as bakasha, are two separate entities. Shevach is liolam sadi sadar adam shoch shemav yakar ispal is the prerequisite, is the preparatory stage, is, I don't know what word to use, is going to be the license for me to enter into the king's court and ask him for my needs. Let's separate the two. You know, when you're in the world of the king's court, you know, in that environment, and you're petitioning in front of Almighty God, that's not the point in which you should be full of shevach v'odoya. Shevach v'odoya is outside the king's palace. You know, that gives you the green light to come in. That's the Divrei Ritzui. So let's separate, says the Rav, Ritzui, and identify it as Ritzui, which is Shevach, from Tefillah as Bakasha. I don't know if I've answered your question. We'll give it some more thought. Good. But in the case of Kriyas Rashal Shachris, in addition to the Halach of Matir, what other dimension of the Kiyum of Smichus Gula Tefillah do we have? Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, excellent. To integrate the two into one entity. That we can do in Shachris, because what's the nature of Tefillah Shachris? Chova. And therefore, if it's Chova, it's Min B'mino, it's of the same ilk, it's made of the same substance as Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema and Tefillah can identify, can unify, can integrate, because they're both Chova.
What's the difference? Why does it matter if one's Rishus and one's Chova? Like, why does that make any difference?
Again, you know, you're asking more of a philosophical why, I think, and we have to address that. But in this context, we're setting up rules and regulations that are halachic. As I told you, if you, midway through Shmon Esrei, decide, wait a minute, I davened already, can you continue that Shmon Esrei as a tefillas nedava? Absolutely not. You've got to sit down, finito, there's no way you can salvage the other half of Shmon Esrei. Why? Because you started Shmon Esrei as a chova. Once you assign, once you design the Shmon Esrei at the beginning as a chova, it cannot switch modes and become a rishus. Rishus and chova are antithetical. Like the gravitational pull goes in the opposite direction. They I don't know what's called in physics, but they...
Opposites
they're called? Isn't there a different word in physics?
They repel,
okay. The repelling effect. But I'm sure that... All right. That's why I didn't take physics in high school. Okay. Nimtza. Therefore, the sum total of what we're saying is that with regard to Arvis, we have to say Kaddish to separate Gula and Tefillah, to separate the Matir and the Nitar, because of the two, how should I say, different qualities or entities, or, you know, the two personalities that are so radically different one from the other. So to set up the Matir in and of itself, and the Dovra Nitar in and of itself, we have no possibility of integrating them, and Kaddish is the Mafsik. You'll tell me, but let's join them together to one entity under the rubric of Kabbal Sol Malchus Shemayim. That cannot be achieved because of the nature of Tefillas Arvis Rishus. Now we can understand the Rambam. The Rambam, if you recall, this we started with way back when, in the first parak of Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam says that whenever you complete a set of brachos, you yourself, the Mevarech himself, should recite Amen. And the Rambam's language is Lodia Shekvar Hishlim Kol Berchosov. So in the case of Smichus Gula Tefillah, where Birchas Shema, Kriyat Shema is a Seder HaBrachos, it's a whole matrix of brachos, shouldn't we recite Amen after our own Gal Yisrael? He says, "Ainly amen kazeh shum zika legula deshakris kevin shebirchas kriyat shema tefila kshuras vachuzas ahadadi." He says that you cannot consider yourself to have completed a set of brachos when the kriyat shema itself propels you into tefila by obligating you to complete the kabbalas olmach shema through tefila. So there's no room for an amen at this point, even though it's the completion of a Seder. But in Arvis, the Rambam is going to require that you recite Amen after your own bracha of Gal Yisrael, because insofar as it completes a set and it requires Amen, again, Neil, I'm not sure why, but Amen is the key word to complete an entire set. That's the flag, you know, at the end of the timeout flag, you know, that ends the thing. At that point, in Arvis, you should be reciting Amen after your own bracha. Now, the Rambam also says that if the Tzibur is davening as a Tzibur, then when the Shatz recites Gal Yisrael, they should respond with Amen even in Shachris. Why is that so? Isn't that antithetical? Doesn't that undermine Smichus Gula Tefillah? So the Rav says that it would appear to be that according to the Rambam, there are different types of Amen. When a person recites Amen at the end of the completion of his own series of brachos, that's called Hodas Siyum, but he waves that flag that we spoke about, that this is finito, the end of the Seder. But when we're being Yotzei with the Birchas HaShatz, there the Amen is not coming as a Messiahim, as a flag that indicates finito, we've completed, but rather, we were accepting that bracha. And if we're accepting the bracha of Gal Yisrael through that Amen, Haraya the Rav says, we fulfill our mitzvah of bracha with that word Amen, as the Gemara indicates in Shavuos, Amen is a Kabbalah's Dvarim. And when a person recites Amen, it's Kemotzi bracha mipiv dami, And here the Rav goes into a whole long discussion about the difference between what's called Shomea Ka'oneh and Anias Amen. That Amen has a special halacha that applies to brachos. That it's Kimotzi Bracha Mi Piv Dami. Therefore, if I hear the Gal Yisrael of the Chazan of the Shatz, and I respond Amen, since through this Amen, it's as if I myself recited Gal Yisrael, therefore, this Amen is not a mafsik between Gal Yisrael and Tefillah. Therefore, even in Shachris, when we require absolute integration of Birchas Kriyat Shema with Tefillah, we can achieve that goal despite the Amen when we respond to Amen to the Birchas Gal Yisrael of the Shatz.
A little stretching, because you've already said Gal Yisrael also.
I'm not clear about that. I have to go back to the Rambam. Okay, Rabosa, it's getting late. I don't know how, you know, if we were right at the end, I think we could complete the job, which was my original intention. What I would do, just literally in the next 5 minutes, and I realize I'm going into overtime here, is just to summarize the two paragraphs here that are coming up. The Rav postulates at the bottom of Nun Dalet, and this goes on to Nun Hey, that there's a twofold machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yeshua ben Levi. This is a very important piece here. You recall that Rav Yeshua ben Levi, based on the concept of Makish Shchiva Lekima, requires that tefillah, in this case, Shachris and Ma'ariv, should be sandwiched by Kriyat Shema and Kriyat Shema. So in Arvis, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we start with Tefillah and we end with Kriyat Shema. Just the reverse order. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we need Smichus Gula Tefillah both in Shachris and in Arvis. And he too derives that from the Makish Shchiva Lekima. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ma, Kima, Kriyat Shema, V'yachach, Tefillah. So too in Ma'ariv, you need Kriyat Shema, then Tefillah. And the Rav presents a twofold machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Number one, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Tefillas Arvis requires a matir. That's okay. We understand that very well. And maybe with a Kal V'chomer. Because if a chova requires a matir, how much more so does a rishus require a matir? So kriyat shema of arvis has to come first before tefillah as a matir. But number two, says the Rav, birchas kriyat shema is integrated with tefillah to form one entity of kabbalah sol malchus shemaim, even in the case of arvis. Now the Rav doesn't explain. What about his whole argument, which he sold us on the previous page, that Arvis is a Rishus, and therefore it doesn't integrate with Tefillah. I'm sorry, with Kriyat Shema, which is a Chova. So either the Rav is assuming that Rav Yochanan holds that Tefillah is Arvis Chova, or alternatively, he holds that, according to Rav Yochanan, as Neil was positioning himself before her, you can integrate Kriyat Shema as a Chova with Tefillah as a Rishus. The Rav doesn't seem to address that question. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, in Arvis, there's no room to be mafsik between Kriyat Shema uBirchoseo, meaning Gol Yisrael, and Tefillah. So therefore the Rav assumes that according to Rabbi Yochanan, and this is going to be strange to our ears, in Ma'ariv, immediately after you finish Shomer Esamo Yisrael O'ad, you stand up and you daven. There's no additions, and no Kriyat Shema, and no Kaddishes, no nothing. La'alacha, we're going to accept one of Rabbi Yochanan's halachas, in his machlokes with Reish Lakish, but not the other. We can accept Rabbi Yochanan insofar as Tefillah, even in the case of Arvis, needs a matir. And therefore, we're going to recite Kriyat Shema Birchaseh before Tefillah's Arvis. But with regard to his second chidush, that Smichus Gula Tefillah is an integration of Kriyat Shema and Tefillah into one entity of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim, that far we're not going to go. Just like Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, was willing to begin Arvis with Tefillah and then follow it with Kriyat Shema, it means that we're not trying to integrate them into one entity. In that sense, we will accept the position, la locha, of Rabbi Shimon Levi. So therefore, in Ma'ariv, we're going to have a Kaddish, but we're going to have to start with Kriyat Shema. We have to start with Kriyat Shema before Tefillah like Rabbi Yochanan because of the Din of Matir. And even Tefillah's Arvis requires a Matir, or maybe with a Kol Shekein it requires a Matir because it's a Rishus, so it's not a Chovah. But as far as integrating the two into one entity for Kabbalah Olmach Shemaim, that we're not going to accept because a Chovah doesn't mix with a Rishus, and therefore we're going to have a Kaddish in between. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here.